good to be here again, and it's good to finally get my opportunity again to speak and be here again with y'all. I want to thank everybody that has a part in our ministry, and everybody that has had a part in this mission conference in each and every way. And what I mean is, supplying the food for the missionaries each and every day, allowing us to stay in your house, Danny and Bernie, trusting us with a key, their house, I'm thankful for you, brethren. And this is something that if you don't have a part in, you ought to try getting more involved in missions and learning how to be hospitable. In my life, I didn't learn a whole bunch of hospitality. I had to learn it basically going to mission field. And, it's not something, that's part of me, but you learn once you go along. And, it's just like brother was saying, truck driving, you don't just know how to drive a truck until you get in it and do it. And that's the same thing with being hospitable. And it gets easier as the more you open up your door and your kindness to not just missionaries, to each and everybody, each and everyone. I also want to thank the Lord and thank y'all for inviting this brother Joe West to come in and help us renew our focus. Me and my wife and kids have been down in Morelia for 2 years. I've been in Mexico for 5, and we've been in Morelia for 2 years and working there alone, and it's working alone, you tend to get off focus, off the line. And it's good to come back to a good church that gets you back in line. And thank the Lord. And thank you all for having this conference this time. This way of coming, in other words, to refreshing the missionary. Thank the Lord for that. If you would, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. The conference has been directed in that direction of missions. We've been pumped up. We've been encouraged. We've been blessed in many ways, and I'm thankful again. But this is not something we just come to take your time and give you some things or entertain you or do anything that's not. There's a reason we come here. It's called a mission conference. There's a mission, and the mission is lost souls that are bound by Satan and his chains of darkness. And we have a mission and we have a message. And it's one thing I think that's been lacking in the realm of Christianity is the message. A lot of people have a mission, but they don't have the message. There's a lot of works going out in the name of the Lord, but they're doing other things besides getting out the message. People are lost and they're deceived. They're deceived by their own hearts, like you and I were at one time. And now we've been quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're battling. It's a battle. But we can see now. We can see how wretched we were and we are, and how good He is, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have that message. We have a message to get out, brethren. And that's what I want to speak a little bit on. Look at Luke 24. Look what the Lord Jesus says. He says in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This is words of God. These are words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you looked around, but just driving in San Antonio and hitting some of the street corners as I drive up, and they got these people that are doing some works and probably good in some sense. And they gave me a track, and I saw one thing that was missing. It's the message. The message is missing. Oh, it's good to get these guys out of their drug problems. It's good to help them and to live good moral lives and to look towards Jesus. But you know, Jesus said, preach repentance and remission. That's it. It's something I'm learning. I'm applying more and more in the ministry is preaching a little bit more of the law. Preach a little bit more of what gets men to look to God. I was talking to Brother Linda today, and he was talking about these gun laws or whatever, and he was saying how the difference when, you know, the guns are in the houses, you know, legally speaking, and they're in there, they keep back the crime, you know, but when there's not this fear for the burglar or whoever it might be, there's more crime. And I said to him, the gun speaks to me like the law. You know, the law kills. The law shows where we have sinned. The law shows the man his need for the Lord Jesus Christ. The law is good. The law doesn't save. The law is good. There's a whole bunch of preaching Jesus. There's a whole bunch of, you know, this agape love, this Jesus, this love, God is love. But where is the need for Jesus? If men can't see their need, they're not going to come to God. Jesus said, preach repentance and remissions of sins. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of attitude of the heart. See where the man is at and that he's willing to turn from that lifestyle. Also, not just lifestyle, but what he's believing in. There's a lot of people out there that you know, they're repented, but they're believing a false message. You got the Jehovah Witnesses, and some of them, not all of them, but some of them are truly repented. They've left the drinking, they left the some of the other things, and they've repented, but not unto the Lord, not unto faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, if Jesus said it, brethren, we ought to do it. I walked into a Walmart the other day, and this young man walked on the same aisle. It was the candy aisle. And this young man, he was about 19 or around there, 20 years old. And he gave me a picture of what this world is. Not just the United States, but the world. And I was thinking about it, just the United States. But I said, no, this is a picture of the world. This boy was 19 years old. He was so tall, and he was big and, big and fat. And this young man walked in there with those glasses they call cool. You know, with that cool haircut, you know. You know, he was cool. He walked in there, and Lord told me to give him a track. But you know what? I hope he reads that track. I hope he reads that track. I hope God plants a seed in his heart, because those tracks do work. But ain't nothing like preaching.
Amen.
Ain't nothing like confronting them with their sin. Now, it's a little difficult in the stores. I guess if we were a little more bolder and had a little less thoughts on our material things, we'd probably say, hey, man, look, you're in danger if you don't know Jesus. If you haven't repented of your sins, you're in danger. And you know, I walked around the other side of the aisle, and that guy was still on my mind. And then I walked on the other side of the aisle, and I looked down the aisle. After the guy took a track, put it in his pocket, and said, that's cool. That's cool. He looked at it, that's cool. And I walked around the other side of the aisle, and I saw the man do his cool thing with his beef jerky. Lifted up the shirt and put about 3 packs of beef jerky in it, more in his fat. Excuse me. Now, I'm not trying to offend nobody in that sense. I know, you know, that's, everybody has a personal in that area. But listen to me. I'm not knocking the man's weight or anything like that. But one minute he says, that's cool. Next minute he just goes on with his sin. That's why he's like that. That's why he's like that. And he's a young man. And it's sad. I hope God uses that trick. But brother, it ain't nothing like confronting the people. You're not going to be called famous. You're not going to be liked by many when you tell them your idolatry is wrong. Your adultery is wrong. Your drunkenness is wrong. Your sin is wrong. Show them the law. Show them how God is not first in their life and that they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that law is a schoolmaster. It teaches. And it teaches men their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Another is, men don't know what the gospel is. Men don't know. You know, you hear, you know, this talk, we're evangelizing, or, you know, we know the gospel. Down there in Mexico, we talk to people. I talk to people constantly, and some that are called Christian. Some say they're Christian, they're saved. Then I say, do you know what the gospel is? They'll turn around, they'll say, well, it's the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then some will say it's the word of God. I wonder about you this day. Do you know what the gospel is? I mean, you could be going to church and you could been doing this for years in your life and not know what the gospel is. You know, you could have given your heart to Jesus, but you know, you need to learn what the gospel is. You know why? That instills faith in you. That instills confidence in you. You know, and if you're up and up and around doubting your salvation, you need to know what the gospel is. Gospel is good news for one. It's good news. It's good news. We come in a real hard way. We come direct. This is something serious. You know, some can come about it in a more smooth way than others, but either way, you need to tell them. You need to tell them the gospel. The gospel. They don't know the gospel. You know, they'll say it's the word of God. Let's go ahead and look at it. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We have a mission and we have a message. Paul says here in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is not, hey, look, I got a lottery ticket, and this is the one that's gonna win. That might be the ticket that damns your soul if you're not saved here today. Oh, you might win that lottery. You might win all, you might get, gain all things of this world that your heart, carnal heart so much desires, but that is not the good news. The good news is that someone took our place.
Amen.
Someone took my place. This old wretched sinner. He died for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. He didn't just die. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He's alive. That's good news. You know, too often we don't believe it, but that's the good news, brother. And that's the message you need to give out. You need to preach that men ought to repent and preach the love. That Jesus took our place. He bore our sins in his body. All of them. All of them. Oh, that's not no license. That's no. If you're bought of God, you're his and not your own. You're not of the devil's no more. You're to serve God. But that's freedom. That's freedom from that weight that even you as a Christian so battle with. The lack of faith, the doubts that come. Just remember, Jesus bore all your sins. And he's alive. He's alive and he's coming back. Look at John chapter 12. This verse was touched a little bit the other day by Brother Joe. And I got to looking at it a little bit. It's John 12. It says in 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, I see here, the Lord says, it's the hour's come that he's going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified. And then he says, a corn of wheat must die. And he was referring to himself. He was referring to himself. And also I see it as referring to people in general at the same time. But I see it as that. Jesus is that corn of wheat that came to this earth. Think of wheat. Think of wheat. Something whole, something pure, something nutritious, something full of vigor, something good. And this wheat came from heaven, and it came down here, and he died. He shed his blood for us. He died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And it says here, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, Jesus is taking a lot of fruit out of this earth. A lot of fruit. And you know, some of us are that fruit. Some of us are results of that corn of wheat that was buried. And we're not the only ones. 602 Oakno, Town East Baptist Church, and others similar to this aren't the only ones. There's a lot around the world. There's much fruit, and there's more to be won. There's more to be won. Also, it's also for like the, look at verse 25 right there. It says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Recently, I had at least two men in the last couple of months that came up to me, and one of them is an old man that sits around the park there where we have our meetings there in Morelia. And this man finally one day just came over and asked me a question. He says, what about that scripture? What is this hating your life? What is this? You know, you're talking about saving your life, and here the Bible talks about hating your life. You know, hating. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. He didn't understand that. And this young man also, his name is Leopoldo, one that got saved recently and baptized. He didn't understand that. What is this? But before I tell you a little bit more on this, he came up to me one time. And I was witnessing to him, talking to him about the Lord. He said, you know what? I'm tired of this life. That's what hating your life means. That means just coming to realization that this life doesn't really mean a whole bunch. You know, that's what it means. And that's what I explained to the old man too. You know, there's another verse that goes along with this one in Mark 8. Mark 8, and I'm going to give it time here for meaning to go on, but look at Mark 8 a minute. Goes along with this very verse, Mark 8:35. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Amen. You know, this is the only area where it says, and the gospel. You know, the other ones it says, for my sake, the Lord. Here it says, and the gospel's. You know, I think about that as us as, you know, what part do we have in reaching souls? Okay? You and your person, what part do you have? Maybe God's not called you to go to another land and preach the gospel. Maybe he hasn't called you. But do you have a part for the gospel's sake? Do you have a part in it? You know, like we're shared in these meetings, are you in the center of God's will? If you're to stay here, are you doing what God wants you to do for the Lord and for the gospel? And for the gospel. Think about it. You on a mission field, us as missionaries, are we true missionaries? Do we have a heart for these people? If we don't, God breaks. God continue to break. Heart for the people, that it doesn't become just a career or a job or professionalism, but something that wants to see people's lives change and saved for all eternity. It says there, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, many a Christian are saving their life. Oh, you're saved, you're on the way to glory. But you know, it says here, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Don't be deceived by Satan. Let us not be deceived by the enemy. Let us go out for God. Go out for the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel message. Amen.